I turn the mind within. And focus focus my attention on the point of being. I must become subtle. I draw the mind away from sense perception and sense-based memory. Staying focused on the point of being. I disconnect from the body, from action. And I focus on being. My being is still and silent. The energy of my mind focused upon itself. And I shift to another dimension. Hold myself in the world of light. The inner world. The world beyond. sights and sounds do not draw attention. I stay in the inner world, the silent world, the sweet world of peace. I go into that solitude. I am concentrated. There is no resistance. I am naturally still, peaceful, focused, and motionless. The resonance begins. And I am tuned with the One. Connected. Energy flows from that one to this one. And from there, it spreads. The resonance is sustained. And the spiritual energy becomes amplified. Waveforms of that energy move across the world. Spreading the harmonies. Waves reaching very far. I empty myself and become just a conduit for that force to move through. I am filled with light. And I become light. I am one with that light. The quality of the resonance shifts to different colors. And the love, God's love, begins to move through that conduit. And spread very far. The light intertwines with the love and moves across the earth. Beautiful, colorful waves. I stay with the one. Focused on that one. And Baba does his work. Through the instrument. Focused, calm, quiet, working secretly. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So we are very happy to have Sister Denise with us this evening. And for those who don't know her, she was one of the first double foreigners who came in Guyane 42 years ago, and that is a lifetime. And nowadays she spends 30% of her time in London, 30% in India, and the rest of her time she travels around the world. And in one of these occasions, I mean, she has been in Brazil many times, and I was with her traveling in the north of Brazil. And one thing that touched me is really this, I mean, the soul is always trying to get the deepest meaning of the words, of the concepts. And I'm sure that this evening she's going to be able to share with us a little bit more about what we call effort, and maybe has a completely different meaning, or anyway, that's the topic. So welcome, Denise, then.
Shanti. So, you know, of course, that the word effort seems a bit hard, right? Can't really be easy Raj Yoga and effort, right? What do you think? So, anyway, as Patricia was saying, I really do enjoy looking at the different words that are used in the Murali for the different things that go under the name that we use the word effort for. So now, whether Raj Yoga is easy or not, that is one question. Because I think one of the most fortunate things that I have in my history is that before I came to Brahma Kumaris and I was wanting to study Raj Yoga, and the reason was because it was the most difficult thing on the face of the earth. So I never really went for easy Raj Yoga. And it's to me to do something which is not easy seems to me sort of worthwhile, worth doing. Because if it's too easy, I thought it's not worth doing. But if it's difficult and I can manage to do it, that's good, I thought. And every so often you do experience that it's a little bit on the difficult side, is that right? And so if you think it's easy Raj Yoga and you're having a hard time with it, you might think there's something wrong with you, or you might think there's something wrong with it, but actually it's not so easy. And it's not so easy because it's very, very subtle. And I remember in the early days of learning Raj Yoga, when I was in London and there was just Tennyson Road and Dadi Jenki and a small handful of souls were going into the details of just exactly how do you meditate. And Dadi used to say, you know, it's very, very subtle. And sometimes in the Murali, Baba would say that yoga is like mercury. Have you tried? I know nowadays mercury is illegal, but in those days you could get mercury very easily. Illegal in the sense that it's far highly toxic, so they don't throw it around much. But in those days they didn't know. So you could always get a handful of mercury and try and catch it. And it's very slippery. And this is why in the old days they used to call it quicksilver. So, because you can't catch it. And Shiv Baba, to catch Baba is very tricky because, you know, he's very, very small point of light. And you are also a very, very small point of light. And try and connect those two points of light so that you can take in the energy, the power, the all different qualities of Baba and all this. This is quite a tricky thing, because you have to really be in a very subtle stage of being. And to me, the word effort is a bit problematical, so I don't really use it. But Baba has given us some very nice words, which I will give you in the Hindi, because you should know a few words of Hindi, right? So one word is mehnat. Mehnat actually means effort, mehnat. And so you do have to make some effort from time to time for a few things. But usually we hear the word tapasya. Tapasya for spiritual effort, spiritual practice. So tapasya is really a word that means something like striving. Striving, S-T-R-I-V-I-N-G. I don't know if the translators... Do you know that word? Striving. Anyway, it's a good word, striving, in English, because if you have a goal that you wish to achieve, and it may be a very distant goal or a very high goal, and so you set about the process of actually reaching that goal. And so you are in an attitude of striving to reach that goal. And this is something that you may associate with a professional athlete who is striving to perform in a certain way, so that they can win the competition, or a musician who has to strive to reach a certain level of proficiency and excellence that they also win competitions. So Baba actually is making us quite aware that this is a competition, and there will be 8 winners with 108 runners-up and 16,000 consolation prizes, and the rest, very good, you can come to heaven. So it is actually set up, I think, in a competitive way. And I know that you will usually hear from BKs that competition is a bad thing. But actually, Raj Yoga is a competitive sport. And we are competing, in some cases, against each other. But in most cases, we're really competing against our own selves. Because we are at a certain level, and we are striving to raise our level. And this practice of Raj Yoga that we're doing is a lifelong practice. And the word tapasya was used in the beginning of the BKs in Om Mandali. And one story that will illustrate this word, I think, is that when Baba understood that the whole family needs to shift to India, which was after 14 years of tapasya, and when the search was being made for where is the right place for the Brahma Kumaris to go and settle, and at that time there was maybe 300 or so. And one of the gurus of the family of Didi Manmohini said to Baba, look, you are interested in performing tapasya, And a very good place to do tapasya is Mount Abu, because Mount Abu is famous for tapasya. It is the place where people who want to achieve spiritual heights go to do their spiritual efforts. So tapasya has to do with establishing a rhythm of life which is disciplined life. Because if you don't have a disciplined life, it is not possible to cross certain boundaries so that you arrive in a dimension of human life where you're riding on an accumulation of spiritual power. So tapasya is for that. And you know, when the BKs were doing this very strong practice of tapasya, a lot of it involved sitting in meditation for long periods of time. And nowadays, I think that if we have a one-hour bhati, we'll call it a bhati, you know. In those days, it was 24 hours bhati. That was a bhati. So, you know, to be able to sit and focus your mind and keep it interested and moving in a direction which is unidirectional, because meditation practice means that you take a particular theme of what you are going to meditate on and you stay with that theme until you have completed full circle and you have arrived at your point of departure, having completely understood and experienced the meaning and the depth of that particular thought. And that is called accumulating powerful thoughts. You know, Baba says he doesn't want us to have waste thoughts or bad thoughts, but he would like us to acquire a collection of powerful thoughts. So tapasya is also for that. And you also know that it's all about making the one into your whole universe. And this is why there is the idea of having all relationships with one. Because in India in particular and other parts of Asia, a person's identity is totally built around relationships. In the Western world that many of us grew up in, your identity is independent of your relationships. And so that's a different thing. But it's also something that you can work with and cultivate. But having all relationships with one is very much connected with that. And it's a very broad and deep subject to explore. And in the beginning of the yajna, when somebody said, I want to be Yajñavats, I want to be in the yajna as a dedicated BK, I want to be a surrendered person, it was all about remembering one Baba in all relationships and disconnecting from all the other relationships. And this is where the spiritual practice connected in with karma. Karma. So karma is many things, and one of the things about karma is give and take. So if you want to have all relationships with one, then all of your give and take has to be with one. And so this is why the initial practice of tapasya on a physical level was involving renunciation. So you hear this expression, tyaga, tapasya, and seva, right? So it means renunciation, then tapasya, and then there can be service. And so tyag is a very important and interesting component of spiritual practice, renunciation. So that is to say, renunciation of receiving things which support you and please you and fill you that come from any human source. And so the yajna was created as an instrument so that we are able to have our give and take of karma with Shiv Baba through the instrument of Brahma Baba, through the instrument of the yajna and the systems of the yajna. So for us to do our spiritual practice successfully, bearing in mind all of these different laws of spirituality, is necessary for us to engage with the yajna, knowing that this will enable me to break my karmic accounts with the various different people of the world and change my karma from karma with people to karma with God. You see? So that is tapasya also, because you have to strive to make sure that your karma is with Baba, otherwise it will be something that creates strings which prevent you from having yoga in a sustained way, you see. Because when you want to have yoga, you establish yourself in yoga, and it takes a good while to do that, and then you can probably hold it for about 2 seconds, and then you lose it, and then you think you're a failure. But no, it's not really so. To have yoga with Baba for 2 seconds is not bad, because it's very, very slippery. And really to increase that second by second, that kind of intense, full-on connectedness, you know, it's a very peak experience, and you can't expect to have that going on at that level for hours and hours together. And this is why a very important part of spiritual effort is churning. And those who don't like churning, might as well forget it. You won't be able to make it if you don't like churning. Churning is absolutely essential. In Hindi, the word for churning is vichar sagar manthan, which means that you are churning the ocean of ideas, moving the ocean of ideas around. And what is happening to us is we study the Murli. And the Murli is the words of incorporeal God through the medium of corporeal Brahma Baba, which means these are not human words, these are not human ideas. Whereas our head is full of human ideas and human words which come from different humans, whether it's scriptures which come from humans, or, you know, other, you know, moral precepts or whatever. And the only way to remove these human ideas from our intellect is to get Shiva Baba's ideas and move them around. We have to really churn it around So if you can imagine actually moving the ocean, you have to have about the power of a major hurricane to do that, right? That's quite powerful. So we start with a little storm in a teacup, but basically you have to get a thought which is worth thinking about, and you will find those thoughts in the Murali. I see. Every day Baba speaks to us the Murali why, so that we can select something which is food for thought, because we have to take that and we have to move it around in our intellect to a point where we are able to actually hold still and steady in the experience of the meaning of that point in all of its amplitude. And that will take us to the stillness of contact with Baba that we can hold for a few seconds, a minute if you're good and lucky. The whole process of working with that idea, which may take you 2 or 3 hours to complete the process, that whole thing is meditation. You see. And once you have completed your work of churning, and you have reached to that absolutely still point of the experience, then you will say, yes, I have completed my meditation. You see. So every day at Amrit Vela we have the opportunity of 45 minutes more or less, you can sit longer, in which to do that, you see. So that each and every day you taste the fragrance of a different concept, of a different idea, which Baba has given us. And as you taste the fragrance of the meaning of that thought, it removes the human things, the worldly things, the materialism, systematically and gradually from your intellect, so that it becomes what's known as the golden vessel that can hold the lioness's milk, you see, which is very, very powerful. And of course, all this is work. So in a sense, it's effort, because the intellect is usually pretty rusty, and trying to get a rusty machine to move is a lot of work. But once you get it moving and keep it moving and keep it oiled and keep it practiced every day, then you start to experience serious progress, and that gives you a very good feeling of achievement. The feeling of achievement is important because it inspires you to go further. If you don't get a feeling of achievement, then you feel that it's too hard and that you can't do it, and you sort of give up. So many people get going, but to keep going is a very great achievement right there. So what I think is very important to include in the idea of tapasya is the disciplined lifestyle that Baba has given us, with the early morning Amrit Vela and the morning class, and now the traffic controls and the evening meditation, the evening class, different forms of service and so on, that keep us engaged in the same machinery, and it gathers a momentum which enables us to keep going. So partly we're creating the momentum and partly we're running on it, but we have to keep feeding it. And this is why Baba gives us a Murali every single day. And then there are other Muralis that you might want to study in addition, maybe Avyat Muralis or whatever. But if you go into the deep study of a Murali, so that you can penetrate the barriers to the Murli, because you have to get deep into it and it won't let you in so easily. So you have to work at it to get in there, and then you get the nectar, and that will take you to that experience of immortality and the experience of oneness as you connect with Baba. Now there's another word that is used, which is sadhana. And you've heard the word sadhu, right? For the yogis, they're called sadhu. So sadhana is another word for spiritual practice. And sadhana usually refers to people who are sitting in meditation and doing yoga. So we do have to have a discipline of actually sitting in meditation. And sometimes I think it's very valuable to also, as Baba has suggested many times in the Murli, go for a walk in meditation, but you have to be really focused. Or you can do certain things, I mean, especially when we're preparing bhog, making food is a very, very good way of being actively doing karma, but you're in a very deep meditation, and that really brings the vibrations into the bhog that you are cooking, especially if it's a complicated long one that takes an hour or two to prepare. It's all part of your yoga, it's part of your tapasya, part of your sadhana. But the thing is, I think one of the obstacles that many people experience is what Dadi Gulzar calls action consciousness. You know, and a lot of people find that they get caught up in different forms of Baba's service, and they sometimes will make it as a substitute for meditation. They'll say, well, I'm doing service, so it's a kind of meditation. I'm doing karma yoga. But sometimes one can be deceived in that, because it is really that one is in action consciousness, because you do have to bring yourself into this subtle stage of soul consciousness, so that you're really connected with Baba, and then you're doing an action, not because the action is particularly interesting, but because you're actually keeping Baba's remembrance in an active situation, and thereby making the karma sanctified. You see, because our organs of action are used to doing worldly actions, and so there's also karma. So we can do yagya service, which actually purifies our karma and changes our action from just ordinary action to really karma yoga. Sometimes I don't like the idea of when you're doing physical Baba's work, that's called karma yoga. It might be if you are in yoga, but it isn't necessarily, you see. So just calling it karma yoga, I don't really agree with it. Another word for that is yagya service. It's probably better. The word, I think, that's probably the most interesting one for this practice that we are doing is purusharat. Purusharat, you must have heard this word a few times, purusharat. And if you would break down the word purusharat, you have the word purush, which means man, it means soul also. And then arat means income. And arat also means for the sake of. So sometimes Baba says that when you are In yoga, when you are in remembrance, sitting in Baba's remembrance, you are earning an income. And you might wonder how that works. But this word Purusharat gives you a little angle on this. So Purusharat, which means also effort, Purusharat, the way I translate it, is as anything you do for the sake of your soul. And you see, that takes you completely away from this sense of it being laborious. But all the different disciplines and practices and studies and sitting and contemplating, cogitating, churning, all the things that we do to keep our mind focused on Baba, all that is for the sake of me, I, the soul. And one of the expressions Daddy Jenki has mentioned a lot in the past is swachintan, thinking about the self, and ishwarchintan, thinking about God. So you're thinking about yourself. You have to think about yourself very, very deeply. Who am I? What am I? What is this? You know, why am I doing this? And in a way, all of this takes us totally away from BK organization. It's nothing to do with organization. It's really the individual, personal, internal work that a person does in the context of a community, of an organization, but it really is very individual. And it's all to do with solitude, you see. So Baba would very often encourage the brothers and sisters, when they came to visit Madhuban, to have time in solitude. And Baba would say, you know, you can go up on the rooftop and have solitude there. Because the roofs in those days, they didn't have solar panels on them, so you could. But now we have many little meditation rooms here and there. But when you're in the world, there's a lot of things going on, and you are very much in action. And I think also the idea of having Amrit Vela and early morning meditation is very helpful for the amplifying your experience of solitude, because in spiritual practice you have to come face to face with yourself. And it's quite difficult to be face to face with yourself, because you're always face to face with all kinds of other people and memories and things and what happened and who did what and so on and so forth, which is all distraction. And spiritual practice is very much to do with doing a certain work that keeps you completely away from any kind of a distraction, so that you can sit with yourself to the extent of being able to feel what it means to be you, and to feel your vibration, because everyone has their own particular little frequency. And once you are harmonized with yourself and absolutely disconnected from all these distractions, then you're in a very good position to begin the Ishwar Chintan, which is the thoughts about God, you see. And we can think about God because he talks to us a lot and tells us things, so we can think about Baba, right? So Purusharat, this very beautiful word, which, you know, in English we just get the word effort, you see. So There's this very rich quantity of different words that refer to spiritual practice and what you do for yourself. I think one of the things we have to get completely away from is the ideas that you find in conventional religions. And those ideas are very powerful, and what they do is they make you think about other people. And it is true that we do different things for other people as a service, but you know, tyag is first, renunciation, then tapasya is second, and then service, it is said, happens automatically. So I think that we need to spend a lot of attention on drawing ourselves away from thinking about other people so that we can just be with ourselves in solitude, in silence, so that we can then be with Baba and study. And I found it very interesting on, I think it was, what, 18th January, I think, Baba talked about study. Yeah? Well, the next one. But I hadn't really heard Baba really focus everybody's attention on study, and I found it very good because this is your direct access to Baba's mind is through what he says, you see. Because he will speak about what's in his mind. And if you want to have yoga with Baba, you have to go into his mind. And you have to go into his mind with your mind. And your mind and Baba's mind can only connect when your intellect is focused there. And our biggest problem is all these distractions which take us away and make us think about people, places, and things. So renunciation is quite useful for that because you clear your decks, you just get rid of all the things that you don't need and simplify your life. So the tapasvi life or the sadhvi life is a simple life. So we have our simple white clothes and we have relatively simple accommodation, and we need to keep it simple so we have the least amount of distractions so that we can actually get our energy to focus within. When you have a lot of distractions, you shift into materialism, you shift into thinking about what's able to be sensed through your sense perceptions. But if you separate yourself from all of that, what's also called the Maya, and you just want to understand, who am I? I mean, you really don't know who you are, right? Do you? You don't know, you have no idea. You know what you are, you're a soul, and you have a mind, intellect, and sanskaras, and all that what stuff, you know that. But then who you are is so deep. And you can't really get to who you are unless you spend time just doing the work of being. And connect. When you connect yourself with Baba, it causes you to feel him, definitely, but it also especially causes you to be able to feel yourself. And once you can feel yourself, the energy of your being shifts and you start to return to this original condition, which is your original stage or your soul conscious stage. So Baba has talked to us about your final stage, your original stage, and your present stage. So at present, and Baba talks to us about the three aspects of time, and all this knowledge which Baba gives us, especially the knowledge of the cycle, allows us to let go, because everything is included in 5,000 years. You don't have to worry about it. It's not going anywhere. It's there. So you can allow yourself to let go of the whole thing and just be with yourself to find out who you are. So how do you discern who you are? I think it has to do with what motivates you. I think in order to be a real BK, what I call a real BK, two very important criteria: you must have a very great love for God and very great love for humanity. I think if you have these two things, that's your ultimate motivation. And then you start to act out of these motivations. All of the distractions that take place, all the obstacles and whatnot, they become grist for the mill of acquiring powers. So one of the things that I think happens when you become a serious Raj Yogi, a real Raj Yogi, is you move away from morality, ethics, and values. Because all of these come from human sources. They come from scriptures, they come from law books, they come from statutes, they come from all the things people tell each other about how to be good. And the finger wagging comes with that. But what is possible for us, having moved away from all that, is what does Baba provide us? He gives us virtues, original virtues of the soul. You can look inside and find out what are your virtues. And what we say about virtues is that they are gifts from God. So it's as if Baba has given different virtues to different BKs, and if you add up all the BKs with all their virtues, then you've got something like all the virtues of Baba, because he's distributed it to all of us, hasn't he? And this is why he says, pick up virtues from each other, you see, because then you can amplify your virtues. And virtues are always described as flowers. So they're very fragrant, beautiful, and delicate. And they can easily get crushed, you see. So if you want to be a soft, virtuous, sweet, a gentle BK, you will certainly be crushed. Is that right? Yeah. You have a lot of experience of that. So in order to manage this beautiful state, what we need is powers. And so we need the eight powers and other powers, power of silence, power of transformation, so many powers. But I feel that if we are totally focused on Baba, we can leave aside these human things and we can really cultivate virtues and powers, and this will make us really good tapasvi, very good Rajyogi, very good Brahma Kumar Kumari, very good representative of God, because Shiv Baba is a non-human, right? He's not a human. Well, we are humans, we have a relationship with a non-human. That's amazing. Do you think? Yeah, he's a non-human. He doesn't have a body. He's not at all like humans. But one of the obstacles, I think, is, and this is a difficult word for translators, but I'll explain it, but the anthropomorphization of God. So anthropomorphization of God means that you think about God as if he is a human, you see. And so there are people who talk about incarnation of God, Buddha, Christ, all these different. There's also anthropomorphization of God. And Baba is not a human, but he expresses himself through the medium of Brahma Baba, who is a human. And we are also human, you see. So it's possible for a human to have a relationship with a non-human. But we should not think that he's a human, because he's not human. He doesn't operate like a human. He's different. So we have to spend lots and lots of time discovering, okay, you, Baba, you're a non-human, so I need to understand you. So he says, it's no problem, I explain myself to you. So, but it limits us if we start behaving as if Shiva Baba is a human, because he's much, much beyond what a human is. But he is also changing us from humans. Humans means people who are fallible, people who are materialistic, all this they call human, what we know as ordinary mortals. We are very conscious of being mortal and being bodies, into deities. So a deity, devta means a giver. You see, so someone who is filled with all the qualities, all the virtues and all the powers, that's a deity, you see. But you don't need these human-made substitutes for powers and virtues and qualities, because they're second grade in comparison with what Baba is giving us. So I think that a very important part of our progress is to be able to transform ourselves and to be willing to allow Baba to take us out of this very limited human way of being, which is a bit religious, you can say, and move into real spirituality, spiritual practice. And these words that we have, you know, tyag, tapasya, service happens by itself. Purusharat, remember this, anything you do for the sake of yourself. That means you are really being so good to yourself, so kind to yourself, honoring yourself as having been selected as a student of Baba, child of Baba, an inheritor. He says, you are my heirs, you are my specially selected children. You will go to the new world and you are my helpers. You are making this new world by becoming these embodiments of Baba's qualities, virtues, powers. And so we are no longer like the other people because of this, you see. So we have to keep moving forward with this. It is easy Raj Yoga because it doesn't involve any of the difficulties that people put themselves through in the path of bhakti. These are physical difficulties that people have, and moral difficulties and legal difficulties and all this type of thing. But what Baba is asking us to do is handle very different kind of difficulties. We must conquer our inner demons. But you don't conquer them by fighting them the way people normally think about engaging in battle, but using sacred weapons, which are the powers, which are the virtues, which is the power of connectedness with Shiv Baba and with the power of accommodation, you can accommodate many inner demons. It's not a problem. Let them come out and show themselves, and then you take them out systematically, because you're not afraid of them, you don't mind about them, you're not horrified by them or anything. You know what they are, and you move yourself beyond them. That's a different kind of effort, not the kind of engaging in battle. And I think it's very important to be absolutely neutral in regard to things that the world of moral people, they're very outraged by things, you know. So we should never get into being outraged by something. But we should just neutralize it and move on, because we have distance to cover until we reach the goal that we are thinking about. So I will stop there. I hope you got some different thoughts of what is effort, yeah? Om Shanti. So we'll have a little bit of meditation. Thank you.